Great to see you guys. It's great to be home. I've had a lot of travel in the last couple of weeks to the Pacific Northwest. Stayed with Steve and Donna Denning. Can you tell? That's an official Chick-fil-A tie, my friends. And I didn't pay for it. Donna Denning. And what's weird is it has no chicken at all on the tie. It has coffee, but it does say Chick-fil-A on there. And on behalf of their family, we bring you love and greetings. Oops. And they're doing great. They have a beautiful home. It's on the beach. And Steve looks retired. You know, he's got the longer beard going on. They look exhausted, actually. They've been moving, and they haven't stopped. And Don officially can put whatever she wants on the wall, and no one can tell her to take it down. They're having fun. So we send you their love. And we have had a journey looking at colleges all over the place. Daughter's moving into her senior year. She's the last of the Mohicans. Shelly and I approaching this thing called the empty nest stuff, and there's a little bit of anxiety with that. My daughter's feeling a little anxiety over these choices. I wouldn't say it's necessarily nestled in fear, but there are those fears that come up. We move into these subjects over the next few weeks that I think fit the era of all of our lives, not just mine. But it's great. It's great to be home. And it's great to see the reality of what that was like now that we're home, looking back on those things. Let's pray this morning if we could. Father, this morning we invite you in as already we've heard in song and in announcements. This is all about your presence. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your presence. Bring to light truth, not lies. Truth, not fear. May your scripture come alive this morning and story, all that's involved. I thank you in advance. We need you, all of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are free to move about this sanctuary. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a famous advice columnist named Ann Landers. Who has heard of Ann Landers? Yeah, for decades. In fact, over the course of decades, a couple of different faces that used that pen name, Ann Landers. And I remember as a kid growing up and spending my summers in Tennessee, there would be these newspaper articles. My grandmother was into Ann Landers and would read and write. People from all over the country wrote her letters every week about all kinds of stuff, from how do you set the table correctly to how do you know when you have conflicts in your family, all kinds of things. Technically, at one point, she is receiving 10,000 letters a week asking for advice, okay? And when she was asked, what is the most common problem that you're asked to deal with? Undoubtedly, she said, without a doubt, it's fear. Several years ago, Shelly and I took our first group on what would be a local field trip, a mission trip. I was brand new at youth work, and I didn't want to necessarily head out of the country on a larger scale third world environment. So we decided to go a few states north and went to Tennessee. We had a cross night service where we had a campfire and had a cross put up there. And how many of you have had a chance to literally nail some things to the cross before? You've done that before where you've put something there, you've left something at the cross. We had a night like that. I'll never forget it. We brought that cross home and we left everything on it for some time. And this wasn't where, you know, people put their names on the cross or anything like that. We took the papers off of there, and to see what was keeping people from living life to their fullest, the majority of things that were written down were fears. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of being found out was one of them. And the fear of people knowing who I really am and yet still liking me. Many of them had to do with fears. Fear is a big part of our lives. 25 years ago, elementary school age kids were surveyed with your top five fears. Number one, animals. Dark rooms. Number three, strangers. High places and loud noises. Fast forward 25 years later, elementary kids are afraid of their parents divorcing. Nuclear war. Getting cancer. pollution, getting mugged or human trafficked, so to speak. It's a whole other world that we live in. As we talk about fear, some of you in here may be the tough guy type. I'm not afraid of anything, you say. Or I got this down, I used to be afraid of all this. I'm good. Let me tell you what you're afraid of. You're afraid of the reality if you're saying that to yourself. Because reality says the truth, every one of us in here has fears about something. Call them whatever you want, whatever they may be. Worry, tension, stress, being uptight, all that stuff comes with fear. This week, just balancing a schedule for me sometimes is fearful. Will people come for a message like this? Easter Sunday, can we get all of this accomplished? Fear approaches everyone, pastors included. There's all kinds of focus right now in our church over certain aspects of our budget. It's surrounding us, guys. That's why today I want to introduce this series called No Fear Living. Next few weeks, leading into summer, talking about no fear living. I know what seniors are looking at. And as students come back home from college, I know what they're thinking right now. Some are getting into relationships. Some are getting out of relationships. Some are looking at optional jobs. And if I take this job, the pay's good, but I may lose my life. Like, when do I get a day off? Lots of things surround these things. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. There's more in the Bible about fear than heaven. There's more in the Bible about fear than hell. The first words of Jesus, when he resurrected, appeared to his friends, were what? Do not be afraid. All throughout the Bible, we're told not to live in fear. This is kind of our thesis verse. Take your notes if you have them this morning. We have fill-ins. We have plenty of pens available if you want them. Psalm 34 is kind of this balance. And this week, this has helped me because I am looking at several things happening in my own life. I got a car that was stolen just recently and a car that was found a month later. And we're in the middle of nowhere and they're approaching us with all of this. Here's how long your car is going to be held and here's how much it costs per day. Budget-wise, that was not on the radar. And I'm thousands of miles from this thinking, hundreds of miles from home, no idea what to do about it. Psalm 34 says this, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Circle freed. And circle all. The good news of this series is that God says you can break free from your fear. Amen? Imagine if I could point a video camera right at you and put it up on the screen right now. And your fears would pop up on the screen. I wonder what you're thinking. What are your fears? I'm going to give you 30 seconds, all right? Now, you choose which one you're going to share. But look at someone sitting across from you, right next to you, and just lean over and said, I got this fear. Ready? Go. Anyone have one they want to share this morning? I'm loving this. Okay? Anyone? Yeah, John?
Sharks.
And you're on an island. Anybody else? You're safe with that. Centipedes, okay? We're sticking with nature here. Okay, all right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. A family member, specifically a son, without God. Huge. Yeah. Wow. Man. I appreciate you sharing that. Daniel. Okay, yeah, we fear that for you too. Hey, man, I'm kidding because I hang out with you a lot and I know where you're going with that. Love you. Yeah. Conflicts. Yeah. Snakes. Abandonment with snakes. Daughter? Daughter's cancer. Huge. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Whew. This list is powerful, big. Anyone else? Water. We are surrounded by it. Okay. And I have mine, which you'll hear about. You're not alone. Some of these fears come from different sources you can track back to. Others, you can't think, where did this come from?
I'm not sure where this came from. Maybe it's even going to church, or somebody's going to think you're religious if you're seen here. I have attended the Catholic Church recently, not long ago. I had some students that were involved, and I went to the service, and there I am, a pastor of Avalon Community Church, attending a Catholic service. And I know that some of my students come here that attend there regularly, and they come here, some of my friends, whatnot. And there's different fears. We have an FCA club, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, to be in leadership in that at the school. There's literally, as we just had a cookout together, fears of what people think about the position you're in, or if I go to that club. It's very real, okay? Maybe it's your parents are going to go through a tough time right now, and it could end up even worse with a divorce, or the relationship you're in, is it going to last, or the future, or things are heading in the wrong direction, or there's some stupid stuff, fears about being caught shopping at the dollar store for Christmas presents, perhaps, or whatever they are. We all have these fears, legitimate, emotional. You know what? I just found this one. This came literally on my phone. Some teens and young adults fear being focused here. There's a focus in New Jersey, Trent, New Jersey, on forcing them to go to church if they are violating curfew. I'm not sure how this passed legitimately, but as July 1st, 2016, a church has been well attended by violators of curfew of young adults that are in there. And I'm not sure how long this will last, but there's these strange fears that come. There's these goofy fears. I know when I was younger, I just had this one area on my face, this zit that kept forming, and it was just giant. And I was scared that if I did something to it, that these living creatures or something might come out of there. I had a friend who actually was bit camping, and a spider had laid eggs or something inside an area. And once things were... Am I going where I shouldn't go this morning? Okay. Yeah, it was just out of control. And since that kid did that in college and shared that story with us, I had that fear. Because this knucklehead was telling me, don't ever pop this, man. Don't do this. And I can track it back to him. Some of them are really stupid, goofy fears. But this morning, as you have heard and I have heard, there are some things that are very legit. I mean, sharks can be legit, but there's ways to avoid that. But dying alone, someone who is far from God, or fear of a loved one that may not make it, or may have run from God. No matter how old you are, how young you are, how tough you are, how insecure you are, we have these fears. And one of the things about reading the Bible a lot for 30 years, ever since I was in ninth grade, is I do know that God doesn't want us to live in fear. Amen? I'm telling you, you know this, but hear it this morning. And I know people are listening online this morning, all across the country. And I've had responses recently from people saying, I need to hear this. Scripture tells us that strong verse in Psalm 34, I prayed to the Lord, he answered me, he freed me from all my fears. Freed all. I've listed some things that fear does. Number one, it slows down your potential. Oh, it does. Some of you in here, you're not living life to the fullest because of some fears. It just limit your effectiveness. You're going to miss great opportunities. I fear sometimes when I'm on stage of something weird. I don't know where it comes from, and all of a sudden I look at my notes and they're gone, or they're out of whack, or I forget where I'm at. I know there's an enemy, and I know he's moving around, and great opportunities, instead of freaking out, maybe I should stop and pray. Michael and I were just chatting here before the service started of big things happening in life right now, in relationships. Opportunities, for sure, but attack, for sure. And to know which is which. We're breaking those down this morning. When we become afraid, keeps us from doing things in our life. Dreams of doing stuff. I'm going to do that before I graduate in high school. That's my goal. Now you're on the verge of graduation, and fears have trapped you. And sometimes I look at some of you and say, man, you could do so much in your life if you weren't afraid, including finances. If you weren't afraid of failure, rejection, whatever it is. I look in your life and I see friends, great friends, on this incredible road you could go down, but you're surrounded by false dragons of fear that line its pathway, so it limits your effectiveness. years ago, preparing myself for moving here, we really don't have large waves in Florida. I mean, there is a hurricane season and waves can get big, but they're not thick. In Florida, the wave breaks and the wave moves, okay? Here, when a wave breaks, the whole ocean moves. And it'll take you out. And it pins you up against a rock. And then the whole ocean goes back and takes everything with it. The mighty Pacific Ocean. I literally had fears of this ocean moving here. Very similar to what I've heard this morning of water. I had to face some of those. I had to cross from island to island in different contests and things that I've done. Literally, I could feel my stomach 2 days out. You know, like the butterfly feeling, wondering if this is going to work out. And it did. But I had those fears. I remember when we got one of our first cars, where I was able to, it was just Shelly and I, and I put $500 out on this 1968 Volkswagen Squareback, a Type 3. It was sitting behind the Toyota dealership in Pinellas Park, Florida. It was yellow and rust, more rust than painted yellow. I slapped a $165 Earl Shibes paint job on this sucker. Eventually sold it for $2,500 as a young man. But I drove that car with pride. Stuff was stolen out of that car all the time. My tennis shoes, discs that I was throwing, whatever was left in the car, it was too easy to break into. But I loved it. Man, I had so much fun. I got some looks every time I went through the drive-thru. People are like, no way. But you could smell gas about a quarter of a mile away. I saw it trickling out from under my car all the time. I kept a fire extinguisher in the car. Most Volkswagen bug owners and Type 3, anything, you know, earlier than the 80s, you usually kept a fire extinguisher. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. Okay, good. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, my wife announces, hey, we're having a baby. And you're getting rid of the square back. Right off the bat, I'm not driving in that thing. It's going to catch fire and burn us all up. And I was like, oh, man. And you say, why do you tell me that? Because I think it's a lot like our lives. We spend this time looking good on the outside, paint job included, how things look. We're decorated. It's stylish. You get the looks. But inside that car, it's a nightmare. Inside our lives, it's a nightmare. It's literally something boiling, ready to explode. Or what's really there is a ton of fear. And on the inside is something that needs to be extinguished. It's dangerous. But on the outside, we look a certain way. The other thing that fear does is it scars relationships. This is where it sets personal. When that stuff that's percolating inside just can't stay inside, all of a sudden relationships are affected. And the oldest problem of humanity goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And literally, this is great stuff from boot camp. Genesis 3, I was afraid and I hid from you. Fig leaves. In relationships, that's what we do. We hide. Fear causes us to cover up. We put on masks. Fear causes us to not say things that we're really thinking. And fear causes us to pretend that we're somebody that we're not. Causes us to lie. The greatest block in any relationship is taking that relationship to the next level. It's fear. So the reason we're afraid is we say this, why should I tell you who I really am? Because if I tell you who I really am, what if you don't like me? And if you don't like me for who I really am, that's all I've got. So all because of that, we don't spend our lives telling each other who we really are, so we just wear these masks. I am guilty of that as well. And I'm not fully known. And on the inside, you're one person. But on the outside, you're another. And you try to give off this persona that you're somebody else, and it limits, and it scars relationships. Another word for that is posing. Years ago, I remember walking into this little program. I was late. I'd been to soccer practice and it went a little bit longer, and I rushed in to this room. And the program had started already. It was in college, and it was required attendance. And everybody was standing up when I walked into the room, and I could not find a seat because of the way they were standing. every chair look occupied, so I had to wait till the singing was done and their standing was done, and the speaker had them sit down in the room. And I looked, and there was one seat available. And that one seat that was available was all the way in the very front where the speaker was speaking. And so I walked all the way down front, and this young lady was sitting there with a ton of hair, and I kind of moved it to the side, and I said, "Is this seat saved?" And she looked at me and said, "It is for you." And 28 years later, I married that girl. But let me tell you what, the posing turned on right away, because I was nervous. I was like, "Who are you?" And she was like, "Who are you?" And all of a sudden, I didn't really want her to know who I really was. I wanted to be something else. And maybe her story is the same. I'd actually heard about her from her family. I had met them before I met her. And my roommates all talked to me about her. Lots of friends knew her. I did not know her. And then I met her. And I was scared that she might get to know the real me. In fact, I asked her out on a date 6 months early from the date, just making sure that we might still be together and I could handle this right. I was nervous that getting out of one relationship, I might just blow this one. So I asked her out on a date. I think we went to see A Christmas Carol with Charles Dickens at our Performing Arts Center. I was excited about that. I loved the whole topic in that time of the year. And I asked her 6 months out if she would attend this with me, and knew I had 6 months. If I was going to blow it, I was going to blow it. But this could work. But now I've been married almost 28 years to that girl that I met in Clearwater, and I do know that in every point in our relationship, when it's going to go to the next level, and you're hearing me, hon, okay? And there's some depth, something is about to happen, somebody's got to show up and be honest. When I've acted like a dork or worse, she's had to tell me. Somebody's got to show up. Somebody's got to take the mask off. Some of these fears of, if I say what I'm really thinking, that's how life works, guys. If you want to have a lousy relationship, if you want to have a superficial relationship, then just stay at that level. Keep the mask on all the time. There was a point in time where divorce was possible. I literally was living a wounded life. I just was percolating that. And I could not control my thinking. And I was worried about so much. My wife literally had to stack hands to say, "This has to change. We have to change. Something needs to happen." Great people came into my life and stacked hands. Honesty, because the masks had to come off. They didn't come off overnight, but they did come off. Someone saying, "I've got to be honest with you." Cruise through life. That fear of being known, that fear of wanting to be loved, keeps you from living life to its fullest. So fears slow potential. They scar relationships. They kill marriage. Number three, they stop happiness. It's like a prison. Prison, not a happy place. And I can't say that from experience, but from people I've talked to. But I remember back in Pinellas County, I would visit several guys that had attended our program, and they were in the sheriff's department there for a while overnight. I remember I went down to visit a friend and who worked there, and I took my son Alex with me, and he was very young, and they sat me in jail for a minute and closed the door behind us in this tiny room. My son was with me. The first thing he noticed is there's no toilet paper in here. Freaking out, little Alex. It's a little place. It's not a good place. It was cold. It was hardened. That's what fear is like when you live with it, this emotional prison. We lock it up from the inside. Think about this. Those of you who know a little bit about the Bible, Jesus said, "I'm going to be unjustly crucified on a cross. I'm going to be killed. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead." And he told his followers that. And as soon as he was killed on the cross, what did his followers do? They hid. They ran. They were afraid. They locked the doors. That's what Scripture says. A lot of us do that. We lock ourselves up inside with this fear, become emotionally paralyzed. We live in such a way that Jesus resurrects and he shows up and he opens the door, and then all of a sudden they know what he said was true. When you open up your life and you let Jesus come in, you have a relationship with him, then he can conquer some of those fears, and the party begins at that point. Amen? Yeah, he said, I didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life. And I was studying this week a little bit on fears. I read something. When you and I were babies, we only had two fears. Anyone know what they are? They're up there. Yeah, just checking. Yeah, falling and loud noises. You're born with those two, okay? You'll see what they do. Kids can be drooling. Their heads are bobbing. Make a loud noise and watch what happens real quick. Their eyes pop out. Fear of loud noises. But every other fear we've learned. Catch that? And the good news about that is if you've learned a fear, you can what? You can unlearn it. I didn't hear any amens with that. Whew! What I want to do is give you four things to think about as you leave here. I'm no idiot, and I'm not thinking you're going to walk out of here, hey, nice message, Pastor. I'm no longer fearful. Okay? That's not going to happen. It's a journey. These things have accumulated, and they take time. But what I want to give you is set you on the journey. Set you on a journey that maybe begins and it gets you to conquer some of these, looking at them differently. Not on your own, because you can't do it on your own. I can't either. If you could have, you would have. But with God's help. And it spells out fear. Let's walk through this. How do you start taking action? Find truth. I start with that. This week, we met a soccer coach as we interviewed this college coach to say, hey, my daughter was saying, I'm interested in this sport. I'm actually interested in playing college soccer. But I don't have a club team. I live on an island. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I'm afraid I may be a little behind because I know some of your athletes here are D1 and they're coming from incredible club programs. And he said, listen, you have a ball? Because I don't care if you're from a club program. I just got back from Rwanda. They kick around banana leaves bound. Some of the best players I've ever seen, most talented. They don't have a club. They're in the middle of nowhere. What are you scared of? If you got talent, you got talent. It may be a little difficult matching it with a team that's played together, but it goes, that's my job. Let's just get you into the game. If this is what you love to do, then it will show that you love to do it. Don't worry about where you come from, kid. Some of the smallest environments produce some of the great opportunities in life. Great counsel. A lot of what we learned in life simply wasn't true. What you have learned in life, maybe we've learned from our parents, teachers, friends, or we picked up a movie, things that are not true. You peel it back and look and find if there's truth. Because it's not true, you and I believed it, and sometimes it's led to fears. Example, love equals sex. It's all over television, movies. Maybe you've heard it from people. If you really love somebody, you got to have sex with them. And that's just not true. And because that's not true, we believe that it is true. It's created all these false fears inside us for how we behave and how we hang out. Fear of being accepted. What happens if the person dumps me? Or what if I'm not sure I know what I'm doing? Am I ready for that? All these fears because of something that's untrue. Here's another one. Money is power. You believe that if I have money, I have power. So that's not true. Because we believe that, we look around in fear for our future. I had to dabble with this. I had two neighbors, that young men that were very driven. And I was anxious to follow in their footsteps. And yet, God was pulling me into a whole other area of risk. Will I get the right job? What if my SATs or my ACT scores, what if they're not good enough? Should I go to college? Maybe I end up doing something I really don't like to do because my parents say I need to have money because money's power, all that stuff. Many of us, we live in these fears of things that just aren't true. What is true? Jesus said, you will know the truth And the truth will set you what? Yeah, circle that. Free. There's that word free again. Fear's like a prison. We need to be set free. Andrew, son, you need to be set free, a man told me. Some of these beliefs need to be challenged. What do we challenge them with? God's truth. The Bible. When you know the truth, it will set you free. Fear always distorts our perceptions. We come back to what we believe, and we get our beliefs from the Word of God. You won't hear anything different from this pulpit, no matter what service you attend. We could close in prayer. It all comes from the Word. And I've heard everything. I remember when my son was very young, we lived in a place called Oldsmar, kind of at the end of a cul-de-sac. Lots of people were dog owners. And he came running back. He was like barely 4 years old. And he came running back. And he's like, I got bit. And he was out of breath. And he was like, this dog. And he bit me. And he was, you know, and nuts. I'm like, whoa, hey. You know, it was like this caveman language. And I understood enough. And I ran down in the street to see what was talking about here. And there was this little teeny poodle thing. Okay. And it was actually chained up, and it was actually chained, but because he had a long chain, he came out to the end of the driveway, and my son's just kind of skipping rocks and going by the pool down there at the end. This thing came all the way out the end and scared the tar out of him, and he ran home and told us this story that all dogs, you know, are just going to kill me, and it was this little poodle thing. That's all it was. I had to size it up. I'm like, this dog is on a chain. It's a poodle. You're fine, you know? And my heart was racing. I went to a guy's soccer game this past winter, and I was sitting in your bleachers at Machado. My game had ended, and I was up top watching the guys. And I was with some other friends. And this one young lady saw me, and she wanted to say hi. And she came up to me, and walking up the steps, she tripped coming up into the bleachers. She tripped and fell, and all of a sudden, she's crying. She sits down, and she's crying. I'm like, what are you crying about? Are you hurt? And she's like, no. I'm embarrassed because everybody saw me. I said, no. I saw you, but everybody else is watching the game. Relax. Just freaking out. And she had this imaginary audience that the whole world was watching, made something way bigger and created all this fear of not being liked, made fun of, when it wasn't even true. Yes, she looked a little dorky when she fell. And I could tease with her on it, but I'm like, relax. Everybody's watching the game. It's like you guys who are in water polo or swimming, and you drop your towels real quick and get in the pool as fast as you can. You're wearing these little bathing suits, and you're thinking people are making fun of you. We do. So that's not a good example. So never mind, okay? I had to throw that one in there. I'm going, yeah, I would be embarrassed. Fear distorts perception. It just does. It gets in there, and it starts messing with our heads. My wife and I are together dangerous when this happens. If one of us is strong, we can throw the other one off. But if both of us are freaking out over something, get away, okay? Because it's dangerous. Find truth. 40% of all fears are about the future, and they never happen. 30% of all fears that you have are about the past, and they can't be changed anyway. 12% are needless fears about your health, like spiders infesting your brain or something that comes out of a zit, okay? 10% are petty fears that aren't worth worrying about. What's a petty fear? It's like when your mom says, change your underwear because you might get in a car accident. Okay? They make no sense. I have no idea how these things get associated, but I'm like, what are you talking about? How those two get together. 8% of your fears are legitimate. Those can be dealt with by appropriate steps of action. Literally taking a look. We base our life on truth. Here it is. Not on how we feel. I'll say it again. Not on how we feel. Base it on truth. You can feel sincerely wrong. That happened to me this week. Not what you think. You can think things are wrong. Base it on truth. That's the reality. I don't like getting phone calls out of nowhere when I've got something else going on that throws me off in a whirling dervish on something. If I'm not prayed up, I'm toast. I must base things on truth, not on fear. Remember when you were a little kid and these shadows in the room would be freaking you out? Come on, you guys. Remember that? We had a cabin we loved to go to in Carolina, and it used white or yellow pine on the entire cabin. Hendersonville, beautiful place. And they just took the wood of the property and built this cabin. And every one of those panels had these little black knots. And sometimes they would line up next to each other and look like eyes. And my daughters would be in the same room, and they'd all come running in like, there's something looking at me on the walls. I'm like, well, we're all going back in the room. You know, like it's going to come out from under the bed and suck me into this vortex or something. And then they notice the closet door's open. So the eyes are associated with an open closet door. And you walk in and you flick the light on, and what happens? It's just a stupid wall. There's no eyeballs here. The monsters go away. Why? Because we turned on the truth. Light. How about tithing? Sounds random. If I give, I will be broke. I cannot afford to tithe. You don't understand the financial situation that I'm in right now. And the light comes on because you test God in this one promise. And he says, it wasn't about the money, son. It was about your heart. And it works. And here's my blessing to you. And being broke made you rich, as Lecrae says. What I'm suggesting is that some of you in here need to turn on the truth. Find the truth. In this series over the next few weeks, I'm going to turn the light on of God's truth on your fears. When you live in the light of God's truth, it changes many of the things that you and I fear. I used to fear death. And as a pastor, I'm around it all the time. I realize what God's light says, that actually death is no sting for those who are Christians. Death is eternity with God. Light came on. I'm like, well, doggone it, let's just get this over with. Not yet. But when it happens to you, don't worry. You learn the truth, it takes away your fear. So find truth. The next one here is experience and express God's love. You know what your deepest need is right now? It's not to get to the lunch table. Not to get out of here, finish up spring break, or have this conversation, or lay out by the beach down there, is to absolutely know the unconditional and completely love of God. To know that He absolutely adores me, just the way that I am. It's our deepest inner need that you and I experience God's love, and we're going to take this thing being filled up with fear and replace it with God's love. Some of the greatest teams I've been able to be around on this island are the ones that are away from the sports field and literally take it somewhere other than the field, where guys realize this is way more than football. This is way more than soccer. This is way more than basketball. This is a brotherhood. I can feel like this person has my back. I feel loved. And literally, guys can fist bump each other and say, I love you, man. I got your back. They text each other in this town. I love you, man. Hang in there. I know you're going through something. I love you. Okay? That may be misconstrued in other places, but in Avalon, it is a beautiful thing. Guys can get it. And ladies, I know you get it too. Why? Because you're experiencing something that's pushing out your fear. And sometimes it's got to be around a campfire. Sometimes it's way away from the field going, I feel it right now, I see it right now, I'm experiencing right now. This is happening. It looks like a duck, it's quacking like a duck. I thought it was football, but it's a duck. I'm loved, I'm cared for, I got a brotherhood here. And it's genuine. Pine Heights will be that way for me all the time. Some of you get defensive and say, son, you don't know what I've done. I mean, I'll push out some of this crud, but some of this stuff I've caused on myself. All I know is there's nothing you can do to separate you from the love of God. He's never stopped loving you. That doesn't mean that He approves of everything you've done. It doesn't approve of everything that you've done, and that's reality. But He never stops loving you. Here's the promise, 1 John 4:18. Where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love does what? Drives it out. The opposite of love is fear. Catch that? There you go. So the absence of love in your life, you'll have fear. Love and fear can't operate the same. So how do you experience God's love? You have to know about God's love. Here's the problem. Some of us know about it. Check. But we haven't accepted it. Still needing a check? You can't just know about it. Awareness is part A. The important part is, I can change this. I can accept God's love. That's the difference. That's why a freshman on the football team attending a campfire, okay, a pie night, feels different than a senior in his last year at a pie night, knowing I only have a half a dozen of these left and I no longer wear this uniform. This kid's thinking, this is, what the heck? Who are all these guys? What is this story all about here? And these guys are going, I've only got a little window of time left to be in this brotherhood. And you'll see two totally different maturity levels. Two totally different things going on. The person that has heard about God's love and calls themselves a borderline atheist, love that, to the person who says, I have wanted God's love for so long, I bottomed out, and there's nothing finer than to be forgiven and to know I have a Savior. You can see the difference, you can hear the difference, you can watch them walk the difference. So love is stronger than fear. The reason you express love to others is because when you express love to others and you show others, you get love back. It's out of control how cool this is. Love is a lot stronger than fear. That's why a lady can go into a burning building after a baby. Is she afraid to go into the building? Heck yeah, she is. But she loves that kid. And so she's going into that fear to rescue her baby. So love is stronger than fear. When you express love to other people, you experience God's love. And you accept it. You express it. It gets rid of fear. Some of you are going, how do I get rid of this fear? You're hearing it right now. Here it is. 11:33. You're hearing it. Express love, feel love, accept love, all these things. Fear has no chance. Can we close in prayer now? No, there's more. That's the big one, though. It's the answer to fear. Because the root of a lot of fear that you and I have, and this is unfortunate, I have to say this, but it's self-centeredness. It's preoccupation with ourselves. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to get messed up in this situation, Hobbs. Love, when you express it, gets you focused off yourself and onto others. The more that I'm filled with love, the less I'm filled with fear. Amen. So experience His love. Express God's love. Activate your faith. It's one of my favorites. Got a young man, just got back from a mission trip in Serbia. And got another guy that's on mission right now, doing his DTS. Got another young lady just left for her DTS and YWAM. Activate your faith. It's more than just believing. A lot of people believe in God. 90% of America believes in God. That doesn't mean anything. I believe in Hitler, but I'm not a Nazi. I believe in Ronald McDonald. I'm not a Big Mac. I believe in God. But what makes me a Christian is when I put my faith in God's way, not the world's way. I activate my faith. It's like when I sit in a chair. I believe it can hold my weight. But a lot of us, that's what we do with God. I believe in God, but I don't want to give my life over to Him. You've heard these things before. My notes go into my journal just to say, when I sit down, I move from belief to faith. Sitting in that chair. When I activate my faith, I expect the best in a situation. Fear, I hate this, but it expects the worst in a situation. You ever been around somebody? And you're pumped, and all of a sudden this wet blanket just laid right in front of you, and this transferal is going on, and all of a sudden all that excitement and where you were feeling, and just feel like, whoa, blah, blah, blah. Fearful all of a sudden, because it transfers. Faith expects the best. Does not always remove fear, but it gives you strength to move ahead in spite of fear. That's the difference. You start moving forward. Here's where I'm getting it from. Psalm 56. I've been looking at it. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. You want to memorize something this week? When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Let's say it together. One, two, three. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. There's a song there, isn't there? When you activate your faith, not a trust in a formula, not a trust in a friend, not trust in yourself. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, God. I praise your word. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? What can people do to me? Hello, nothing. That's what he's saying. Ephesians 6, in every battle you'll need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. He loves to suggest fearful thoughts. He knows his future. Yours is up for grabs. Satan can only work in the life of a Christian by offering suggestions. And when God gives you an idea, it's inspiration. When Satan gives you a thought or an idea, it just becomes a temptation. What do you do with those? It's your choice. Great verse. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. I'm going to play for you something here that, quite honestly, this is kind of interesting, but it's been called the manliest commercial ever. If you were to look it up, that's actually what the title is. It's actually a Gerber knife commercial. And there are ladies in this commercial, but I want you to see and feel what this commercial does for you. Just give me a minute, 45 seconds, okay? I'm not going to tell you any more about it, but I want you to get the vibe on this, all right? All right, guys. Let's go.
Hello, trouble. It's been a while since we last met. But I know you're still out there. And I have a feeling you're looking for me. You wish I'd forget you. Don't you, trouble? Perhaps it is you that has forgotten me. Perhaps I need to come find you. Remind you who I am.
Week ago, this room was packed. It was Easter. And our Savior said, a couple thousand years ago, ain't no grave gonna hold me back. People celebrate and they move on. Their faith is a lot like that. You want to be unstoppable? You want to face trouble? You want to know that fear has no hold on you? You hang out with the Savior of the universe. You activate your faith. And you just pull out what you need to pull out. And you face the enemy and say, I'm sorry. Your fiery darts aren't going to work here. There's no grave. No grave that's held my Savior back. He's mine. My faith alone in him and in the promises of his word take me further than I will ever go. And you activate your faith. You can't watch something like that without going, ooh. You have to step out of your comfort zone. Jesus did it. He set the example. This one here is probably most critical to
to the lifeline of the church. I put it last simply because it's the one that ends up getting thought of the last. And it actually is the backbone of a lot of the success that happens in the growth of a church. And it's always the one that's the biggest struggle for people, especially in a town that's as busy as we are, driven. This one is, reveal your fears to others. What's hidden has the power to hurt. I just hide my fears, keep them to myself. Well, they have the power to hurt me, to keep me in prison, to keep me from experiencing life to the fullest that God wants it to be lived. And that's what's spoken, the power to heal and to change. And if you're a regular here at ACC, I'm not talking to you visitors right now. I'm talking to the regulars for a second. If you're a regular here, you've been coming for a long time. You can't orbit the church. You need it. There's people here that may just annoy you. I'm just letting you know. There's personalities that may clash. But it's interesting because God will use somebody like that to bring stuff in your life to the surface to say, what's that all about? Why are you so annoyed? Let's deal with that. Let's deal with you. Because whatever that is, I want to handle. And it's great when you get into a small group with somebody that may think a little different. They may act a little different. They may say something. They're like, oh my gosh. But there's something in you that needs to come out. Well, why am I so annoyed by that? Why can't I just love that person? Why is it so hard? Because we've hidden some self-centeredness in there. I'm not getting out of this what I want. This person is distracting me in my group. Me. I'm not. What's hidden has the power to hurt. What's spoken has the power to heal and change. Lifeline is a great example of that program. In a few weeks, as we're transitioning out of spring and moving into summer, I would love to hear people say, I'm going to quit playing life by myself. I'm going to get connected to other people. I'm going to jump into Oasis in one of these women's groups, and I'm going to jump into a guy's group. I know that I don't know everything about it, but I just need men. I just need people. The Bible says in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other. Then it turns around and says, then run around school and gossip like crazy, right? No, it doesn't say that. It says, confess your sins to each other, and then what? Yeah. Darn it, if that's not a formula for a good small group, I don't know what is. And church can keep it that simple if we would. Let's just hang out. Let's talk about stuff. Let's pray. And let's get going. Because I've got life. Life to the fullest. And I can't wait to get into it. But right now I need some brothers. I need some sisters. I need prayer. And I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. But God's people influence and God's people come together. It's a truth of life. I know that some of my Christian friends, when I spend time with them, when I share things with them, they can help take away my fears. This week, Steve and I went hanging out through a tunnel right next to his house. It was really cool. And in the very beginning, he said to me about this tunnel. He goes, now it's dark in here, and we're going to go from concrete to rocks, big rocks. And I was like, well, Steve, how about a flashlight? And he's like, we don't need a flashlight. So we get to this part, and then these rocks are huge, and they're bigger than Pebbly Beach. And he's stepping on them. He's going, now you got to be real careful. He's holding the wall, and he's stepping on these things. And I just turned my flashlight on. He's like, oh, there we go. No. I just shined a little truth for my friend. And I shot this next shot, which looks like Sasquatch coming out of a cave. There he is. I was behind him. And he had to walk across this log. And then you literally go off a 4-foot little drop. And this is a retired guy. He's been moving for the last couple of months. He's tired. And he scaled right down the thing. He's a man's man. And we hung out looking for what... Yeah, agates or broken glass on the beach, like, you know, his wife loved to do. But it was time together. And I look back and I just make the analogy that in the tunnel, I don't know what I'm going to step on. I have no idea what this looks like. But I'm with you and I'm going to help you. I mean, you led us here, which is the coolest thing ever. Thank you. But let me help you through this one section. And when we get out the other end, it's going to be great. God loves you so much. He wants to have a personal and meaningful relationship with you. Don't allow the incredible potential of the journey be sabotaged by a life filled with fear. Don't live a life filled with fear. God wants you to be set free. Our worship team can come up. Let's pray.
God, I know I don't want to be the same person when I walk out of here that I was when I came in. I know I won't be because I've heard your word. We read it from your love letter, and we dissect some truths. Some of us in here are so fearful because we believe lies, and we have believed lies. We believe that the world's way of living life and doing things is the right way, and it's not. For some of us in here, God, we need to experience your love. I mean, we believe, but we've never accepted your love for us. Maybe we've never received that gift, never moved from belief to action. For some of us in here, we've never spoken up, shared anything with a friend. Would you trigger us in one of these areas? We can begin to work on this journey we call life. And as we leave here today, may our lives be different as a result. And thanks God for your love. That you love us whether we do anything at all or not. And that your love for us isn't based on what we look like, how we act, or if we trip on the bleachers. You love us because you created us and want a relationship with us. For that, we're thankful. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.